Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Hopefully very loud when they're on offense and second and third down and making it hard for them. But just the energy, the juice, the vibes. Our goal is to get to the fourth quarter and have Mr. Brightside be playing. And I know the fans love that, but that gives us such a little shot of energy that, you know, we're going to need going into this game.
Listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Have you seen the Bills playoff gear that dropped?
No.
Well.
Like merch?
A little merch. Yeah, merch. There's a Mr. Brightside element to it.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, the Bills are leaning into it. You can buy a hoodie. What's the line from the song that is appropriate for the playoffs? Destiny is calling.
Oh.
You can buy a shirt.
They've
got hoodies with a big buffalo on it. Destiny is calling.
Oh, how much money have I had to spend today? That's really good.
I mean, maybe buy it like right after the game.
Should they have the killers on call for the fourth quarter to just pop out live? That'd be tough to get, I think.
Yeah. 803-0550, it is Football Friday. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. By Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game to the Crosby's way. We'll be doing a Facebook Live. You can watch the show on Facebook starting at 8 o'clock this morning. So pop in for that if you want. Afternoon Show's got a segment of their show on our Facebook page as well coming up. Full coverage, you know, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose, I guess is...
Yeah.
I'm trying to up my vibe here. I'm I don't know.
From would you vote for your poll? Nervy?
Yeah, sure. Nervy. Fearful. Fear, like Gina from Delaware called in earlier and said, I don't want it to be over. And that's how I feel about it. Like we keep winning because, you know, there's the winning and then there's the it being over is the alternative. And that's not fun.
Right. The Super Bowl is in 23 days.
That's right. I need 23 more days.
Right. I would love to have 23 more days instead of two.
Yeah, right.
Or three.
Joining us on the Wester Hotline, Sal Capaccio, who chimes in. And this Football Friday. Hey, Sal, good morning. Happy Football Friday.
Yeah, and we're finally here. Made it through a week, guys. It was a long week with a lot being said. I'll say that.
That's right. Now, we've, of course, got to watch three more games happen before the Bills game. And the Bills, I think it's pretty clear the Bills have like the designation of game of the week. So we'll watch everybody else and see who gets the final spot in the final four. Sal, the mood from the Bills this week, the tone, you know, sometimes it can be team-wide, sometimes it's guy-to-guy. What's your impression on the way the Bills are approaching this game, whether it's as underdogs or if it's workmanlike, whatever? It feels like it's a year to get to this moment, and the opponent is one to be, respected.
Yeah, it's really interesting you asked that, because on Wednesday down at the stadium when I was talking with players, I got a sense of very good sense of like a demeanor that was very serious. And I said to myself, is it dialed in? Is it tight? Like, I couldn't kind of pinpoint it. You know what I mean? And then yesterday, I think I lean more on they're very serious and dialed in. I don't think tight at all. I mean, Deion Dawkins had his press conference yesterday with his glasses on, right? You guys saw that. And, you know, so, but I spoke with some other media members and asked them what they thought. And I think the general prevailing thought was, you know, very serious tone. Very dialed in. They know what the task is at hand. They know that they got it handed to them in week four. It's going to be tough to, you know, beat this opponent. But, you know, I think that they feel confident that they're going to have a good plan and to be able to go out there and execute it.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. On to Dawkins and Spencer Brown and this offensive line, Sal. You know, it's been a lot of years of playoff appearances for this team, and they get to this round all the time. And it feels like this group, more than maybe any other in the Josh Allen era, has received praise for how good they're playing. But also, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, as they say. It feels like, Sal, there's more of the fan base, maybe in the offensive line itself, looking to them as something that will make this work. We make this go. Like, the line is a star of the show in a way that they had not been in years past.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think this line, just the evolution of it over the last several years, you know, you go back, Josh had been sacked quite a bit, you know, a few years ago. You know, I don't know the exact numbers. And then you look and maybe a little bit less. And like, now here we are. And like, he doesn't take sacks. A lot of that's, you know, him obviously escaping, but they're really keeping him clean on a week in, week out, and down out basis. And now what they're doing in the run game, you know, that's how that's come around as well. I mean, they're really, a lot of times you get lines that, you know, it's a really good pass protecting offensive line, it's not a great run line. Or it's a really good run line, it's not great pass protection. I mean, they're playing really well at both, you know, ways to do that, I guess. So, yeah, I think that's the case. And you guys know I've said it for a while now, but I think Aaron Cromer has really been a big key for this. He's done a great job in how these guys talk about him and how he approaches them, how he find solutions for problems on the defensive side, how he teaches them individually. Eric Wood has talked about that a lot, and how good he is from that aspect as a teacher. Now, I think that can't be discounted when you throw that in with the quarterback they have and, you know, Joe Brady being able to, you know, come up with some concepts to help out, obviously. I just think it's kind of been really clicking on all cylinders right now with that group. But it's a very good group. And I think the best part about this group is for everybody, and of course, you don't want to get too far ahead because, you know, they're playing right now and they have a chance to, they're 60 minutes away from playing for the AFC Championship. But, I mean, guys, like, this group's going to be together for a little while. Everybody's under contract. They've done Brandon Bean's done a really nice job of building it and, you know, making sure that they're all going to be a unit here that they can rely on for a while.
Do you think it's almost a coin flip, Sal, like who might win that battle, or maybe it'll just be like, you know, pretty even, because the Ravens D-line, like they, and the run game is, you know, more than the D-line, but 3.5 yards per carry on the season is number one in the league given up. They hit Allen a couple of times in that first meeting, so it might feel like it's one of the best D-lines in the league, but like, the Bills' offensive line, like, what would give me confidence is they kind of just played another one of those, and they kind of bullied Denver.
Yeah, and I think the same thing happened to the Bills, though, that happened to kind of Denver from week four to last week, which is, you know, they were able to kind of get to Allen a little bit in week four, partly because the Bills kind of had to play a little bit differently, I think, as the game went on. The game got away from them a little bit. They weren't able to run the ball very well, and then they had to do some things and, you know, look like they were kind of playing right into Baltimore's hands. You go back to last week, I think that same thing happened for the Bills on the opposite side, which is the Bills, Joe, they were running the ball well, right? So now that pass rush just can't get going. And you're right, like, they were very good in the run game as well, and the Bills really did a nice job on them. But I just think that they were so well-balanced, that really helped them. So I think that's the key this week. Whichever team can not be one-dimensional and say, okay, like, you don't know if we're passing, you don't know if we're running, you know, that will go a long way. So yeah, for sure, I think it gives you confidence what they did against the Broncos last week going against this group. But obviously, you know, you don't want to be in a position where you have to be one-dimensional. You have to get out of your game plan, because I think then, you know, the other team gets to do a lot more things that they want to do.
So Capaccio, get some calls in a moment. So one thing I'm thinking about for this game, you know, we've seen games where the Bills invite the run. Taron Johnson has flat out said that at points this year. Like, the team invites the run. I'm thinking back to...
That was when, the Miami game he said.
Yeah,
that,
we want them to run. And Miami was a good run team at multiple times. I mean, Devin Achane can be very dangerous. So sometimes they want to invite a team to run. And I'm thinking all the way back to the Chiefs game when they came here during the COVID year, where the Bills invited the run because they wanted Mahomes to not, you know, tear them apart. And it was, let's see if they can run the ball and dare them to run. Do they have an alternate flipped script where, even though it's Lamar and it's an MVP passer, they think, well, from a matchup standpoint, we have to invite them to pass. We have to flip everything. If there's no Zay Flowers in this game, maybe we have to take our chances with that. Flipping the script and committing run blitzes, numbers to stop the run, personnel changes. How often have we really even seen them try something that radical?
I wonder if that's what... I wonder if that's what you could say they might have done against the Lions, mostly in the start that game. I mean, the Lions could not run against the Bills.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not like they were saying, okay, well, we don't think Jared Goff can beat us. But I think you saw in that game, it was, we need to stop the run. If we can stop the run, we can now, because you didn't have, but now, way different. Jared Goff's not a very mobile quarterback, right? You know what I mean? That's not Lamar Jackson. But I think that if you go back and watch that game, I think the game plan was, we have to stop the run. And then if he has to drop back, you know, then now we know that we can try to get to him because he's not as mobile. And, you know, they're going to be in really long yardage situations. So I do think that they do have that, and they can do that. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the script here, which is, look, the Ravens are gonna want to run the ball, right? If you're the Ravens, what do you want to do? I think you want to run the ball. So for me, the Bills probably go into this game saying, this goes back to your poll question last week, and it's so funny. Like, I mean, I saw a lot of the responses, you know, Jeremy, and you asked, like, about Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson, who you're more worried about. Like, I agree. To me, it's Derrick Henry, not because, and the responses are, I can't believe it, Lamar's MVP, how can you not pick him, I'm more worried about him. No, to me, it's, I think the Ravens would love to control the game with Derrick Henry first, because that allows everything else to happen. And if the Bills say, let's just shut him down if we can, and then, you know, we'll take our chances, I think that might have to be the way to go. But it's tough to say that against Lamar and being an MVP, right? So, yeah, I think so. And how do they do that? Well, again, population. You can put more people near the line of scrimmage. You can play bigger personnel as far as defensive tackle, as far as base personnel, linebacker, bring in another guy. You can bring a safety down in the box a little bit more. So, yeah, I think that they have an ability to do that if they want to.
We've talked a lot about this, Sal, throughout the week, but I'm very curious in what the Bills do with Taron Johnson this week, how much he plays, mm-hmm. whether it's 100%. I mean, I doubt it'd be that, but I also doubt he wouldn't play much at all. He is, because it's probably tough for McDermott and Babich to figure out, like, this guy is one of our best players defensively, but the Ravens might want him out there because that's when they like to get big and they like to kind of play more physically. So, have you kind of picked up at all this week what you think they might do? Like, I think the Bills maybe in the past have been criticized for, especially in the postseason. I know the Bengals players made comments about them, like, knowing what you're going to get, and others have pointed out that they don't really change a lot when they get to the playoffs. So maybe there's been some criticism in the past of just kind of stubbornly sticking with what you do. And I don't know, like, that's maybe changing more. Like, you're seeing blitzes, you're seeing Dorian Williams play a little bit more, that Lion game that you pointed out. I saw a stat yesterday that they've played 40% man in the last 4 weeks, which is very different than what they're accustomed to doing. So, I don't know, I feel like maybe we're seeing the Bills defensive coaches mix things up more than we ever have.
I agree with that, and I've said that too, that I think they are playing more man than people realize. We get calls all the time. I get them every week. I can't believe this soft zone they play. They're going to keep playing the soft zone. I'm like, well, they really don't just play a soft zone all the time now. They actually play a little bit more of different types of defenses, including man-to-man. I've thought a lot about Taron Johnson and this week, of course, right? And this is just my guess. He's so good. Like my guess is when they start off, when the Ravens come out with the ball and first down and 10, Taron Johnson will be on the field. But I do think they'll have to switch situationally. So I went back and looked, and 4 years ago, the Bills played the Ravens in this round, as you guys know, during the COVID year. Now, they didn't have Derrick Henry, but they had a really good running attack that year. And the same thing, right? You got to stop Lamar. You got to stop the running attack. 78 snaps on defense. Guys, now, Taron Johnson was a very good player. He had the pick six, as you know, right? He was still a really good player at the time, too.
Right.
78 snaps on defense. How many do you think Taron Johnson played?
70.
He actually only played 39.
Mm. Wow.
30. Hold on. Let me get this. Oh, sorry. Wait, I have to get back to where he was.
This is the game.
Sorry, 46. Sorry. 46. He only played 46.
Still, though.
So if you subtract 78, 46, all right, you get 32. All other 32 snaps went to A.J. Klein. They literally played 32 out of 78. They played in this game. A.J. Klein played 32 snaps. 41% base defense they played.
Hmm. Okay.
And that's not Derrick Henry.
Right. So we should fully expect that.
We have not spent a lot on their pass game, and Sal, like, they've done a very good job, and that game would be included in this. In fact, I think he's targeting Mark Andrews on the pick six for Taron Johnson. Andrews has not had good numbers against the Bills. Like, he's never really had a big game, and likely has been a story this season too, Sal. Like, I with Flowers out, it might be more about in the pass defense this week, shutting down the tight ends. But because of the second level being healthier, maybe it probably feels like the Bills are more capable of doing that than maybe any point during the season.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like the fact that, okay, if they're going to have to throw to Andrews and Likely, at least you're a little bit more, you're a little ready for that, more ready for that with the personnel you have, right? With Matt Milano on the field and with Taron Johnson on the field, obviously, right? And however they use him. So I don't disagree with that. They didn't have all those guys. And, you know, when you were playing them in week four and had Baylen Specter and Dorian Williams, those are tough matchups. And I think even if I have to go back, maybe Nicholas Morrow even played some that game. And
a little bit,
you know,
that's
a guy too. Yeah, so yeah, for sure. And, you know, we know Cam Lewis can come in on dime defense and be a part of that if they do wind up, you know, putting extra receivers out there or whatever. I do think they're more equipped to do that, but man, Andrews and Likely are very good at what they do. They can both block, they can both go out for passes, so they put you in a pretty tough conundrum, just like the Bills like to.
803-0550. We'll get some calls in. Bob in Arkansas. Bob, good morning. You're on with Sal.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. What a treat. I got D. Sal Capaccio this morning. I love it. We are We're rolling from Arkansas, man. 800 miles today. We're going to get up there. We're going to come to the game. I got my two boys with me, and we are pumped. We're excited about it. So I guess I'd like to say just past performance is not indicative of future results. Week four, I don't know what it means. I know you guys have talked about that. I don't think it means much. The Bills are a different team. The Ravens have evolved some. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I really think it comes down to what you guys talked about earlier in the week. I'd love to see Sean McDermott be very aggressive, kind of get Sal's opinion on this too, if he thinks, you know, he will be, I guess, cautiously aggressive or intelligently aggressive or whatever you would call it. But Destiny's calling, gents. We're going to come answer it. We're pumped. Thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, All the trends and numbers say that that's how he's coached this year. He did not in that game against the Ravens. And I think it's partly because the game was, you know, already kind of like they were down and he had an early fourth down at midfield, fourth and two, maybe around midfield. He didn't go for it. And my sense is he didn't want the game. Sean has said words like, you know, you don't want the game to, you know, get away from you that early. So I think that he was just playing like, let's just try to extend this game as long as we can here. And if we fail here, you know, the game could get away from us. But that was really one of the only times this year. Generally, he has been very aggressive. You go back to what he did in Kansas City against Kansas City. And he said, we know that we give Patrick and Andy the ball in that situation. They have a history going down and scoring and winning games. We can't let that happen. You guys have talked about it a lot. I think Sean McDermott gets, you know, unfairly criticized or perceived as being some super conservative coach, which he just hasn't been, really, over the last couple of years, but especially this year. He's been one of the most aggressive and actually, I guess, correct when it comes to some of the analytics numbers, whether that works out or not.
Yeah.
But you could tell me. But, yeah, so I think in this game, I don't know. I would be surprised if he really coached it any different, unless, but score effect can matter, of course.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Thanks, Bob, and safe travels. Hopefully, you know, you guys from Arkansas are ready with heavy gear. It's going to be frigid on Sunday. The latest weather
report. There is no dressing too warm, by the way.
No, that's right. Frigid with temperatures, wind chills. So how about the wind? I'm seeing a little bit more about the wind. I don't know if it's like affect the passing game wind, but affect the temperatures where it's going to drop a good 10, 20 degrees on real feel. because it should be in the teens, but I've seen the wind chills on Sunday night could go below zero.
Yeah, that's wind chill, but I don't think it's going to be super windy, right? So when the wind is going, it's going to affect, you know, it's going to drop the temperature, but I think, you know, from what I've seen, like maybe 10-mile-an-hour winds, which isn't bad, maybe a little bit more gusty, but I don't think it's going to be super bad. It feels like, and it sounds like, as Pat Hammer said on Twitter the other day, almost a carbon copy of that New England game, actually, the perfect game, which we all have great memories of, obviously, from a Bills perspective. But we'll have Pat on today, a very important weather update from Pat Hammer today at 11:30 on Extra Point Show. Sean McDermott at 11, an important injury update to find out if Ray Davis has cleared concussion protocol or what his status is.
All right, very good. Thank you, Sal.
You guys got it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, Sal. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline as we roll through Buffalo Bills Football Friday. It is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. By Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. The NFL has just announced that the Miami Dolphins will play in Madrid next year.
Oh, we're going to Spain now? Madrid.
Yes, Madrid is getting its first ever game. They'll host the Dolphins. We've not seen a ton of divisional matchups overseas. It has happened. So the Bills are an opponent. I don't know how likely it would be that they would play the Dolphins, but the Dolphins are going to Madrid.
I mean, I'd be rooting for the Bills to be playing the Dolphins in Madrid rather than Miami.
Well, Miami's a great trip for Bills fans, and it would be like taking away a home game for the Bills because they are home in Miami quite a bit.
Right.
Eric and Elma. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. So my question is kind of a more philosophical question. You know, if you look back through the Bills under Sean McDermott, I think the Bills have performed their best when they've been considered underdogs. You know, you look at the 2020 season where people didn't really think too much of the Bills at that point, and they go 13-3, make it to the conference championship. But then the year where they're supposed to win the Super Bowl, they're the favorites, they start off, you know, within a slump. This year, you know, they're, again, people counting them out, they're performing their best. And so, you know, I was listening to you guys talk this morning about how all the media have been talking about, you know, how can the Bills stop the Ravens? How can the Bills stop the Ravens? I love the Bills in this spot. I love them with the chip on their shoulder. They've been snubbed by the Pro Bowl selection. I love where we are going forward, and I think we're going to see a fantastic game out of the Bills and an all-time performance from Josh Allen. Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, thank you. I think the year everybody picked him to win it, they went 13-3, right?
Yes.
That's the Hamlin year?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Yeah, they were in the mix for the one seed pretty much the whole time. But are they better when they're doubted? I don't know. I know some fans definitely feel better about it when they're doubted.
Yeah, I don't know. Their record's been pretty darn good, and they've been favored and picked to win like almost every game for like 5 years.
You said like the longest home streak of being favored.
Yeah, 42 games.
It's about to be snapped.
Yeah, almost double what Kansas City's is.
I don't know. I just don't know.
The Ravens have given up the third most explosive pass plays in the league this year.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the list of plays. It's all like their air yard plays. Lamb down the field, Worthy down the field.
Pickens,
a couple running backs. Pickens, Chase.
803-0550. Open segment. Catch up on your phone calls. Tom, stick with us. You want to jump in, take a line, let us know how you're feeling. It's Buffalo Bills Football Friday. We'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Watched Buffalo's defense over the last couple of years, you would say they're going to play cover two like every snap. But the thing is, they've started to change that a little bit. I'd say that they've started to play over the last couple of weeks a little bit more man coverage. They've been more willing to do it. I think it's allowed them to have better run fits in certain situations. I think they've been a little bit more hands-on at the line of scrimmage to create a little bit of takeaway issue for them. And I think part of it is Christian Benford having a ton of comfort with Rasul Douglas doing it. So if Zay Flowers doesn't play and he's their man winner, I think Buffalo's even more willing to play some man coverage, try to make sure that they can shut down Bateman, and that's huge advantage for Buffalo's defense.
Yeah, the loss of Flowers, who did not practice again yesterday, and I don't expect him to play. I don't know if anybody else there does, but that'd be huge. It is Football Friday. Welcome. It's cold out there. We got some good, honest-to-goodness snow up in the North Downs.
Yeah. We have like a little snow blower that's electric and then a bigger one, and we used the little snow blower yesterday.
Temperature is going to start dropping. It'll get a little warmer today, 34 degrees.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
He's even up to 37 tomorrow, listening to BEN on the way in, so it might get kind of messy and melty and then freeze again because the cold front that comes in. Let's just be happy the game is on Sunday instead of Wednesday. Wednesday, the low is 1.
1?
Sunday, the low is 13. Wednesday, the low is 1. I'm in Buffalo. If I go to Hamburg or Orchard Park, Wednesday, the low is -2.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's without wind chill.
Yikes.
So it would have been a little even colder midweek. The Bills had a tweet yesterday, a video of the stadium all snowy. Winter is coming. Winter is here. And the Ravens, I mean, they're from a cold-ish weather area.
They're from a cold division, too.
Sure, yeah. They get plenty of opportunities to play outdoors. I do want to say, though, we said it yesterday. You said Lamar and Derrick Henry, like, their coldest games are in the 20s.
Yep. Lamar's is 27. Henry's is 22. Okay. I will say, though, like, the Ravens as a whole, I was looking through. So StatHead has like the list of games by temperature, and you can sort them. It's the kickoff temperature only, by the way. And the Ravens did play a 17-degree game at home against Atlanta a couple years ago, but Jackson didn't play in that game.
Okay.
So a lot of the other Ravens probably have played in 17, but Jackson has not.
And they would have played against a dome team that day.
That was at home, though. It was in Baltimore.
That's what I'm saying. Sorry, you're playing a dome team, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 803-0550. Could the weather be an advantage for the Bills? I suppose it could. I don't know. I don't think it's going to hurt their offense. We've seen them be just fine when it's cold outside.
Yeah. How much do we think the dome team versus like warm weather team really does? Like, should I discount at all that like a lot of the Bills players are from like Florida and, you know, the South? Like, Has Keon Coleman, okay, I guess maybe he played in the Niner game. Maybe this year would be the experience that he's played in it. Like, yeah, and some guys, like Allen's played in a bunch of them by this point. I mean, how many, like 10?
Yeah.
Probably. So
that's what
some guys will have more experience than others.
Yeah, it's about experience, not where you're from, but how often have you done this? And if you played for the Bills, I was thinking about this for Cooper and Coleman, you know, the receivers here, who are the veterans that have been through this at receiver and tight end? You know, Knox has, and Kincaid has, and Shakir has. Coleman, it's going to be his coldest game, but the Patriot game a couple weeks ago was pretty cold. Same neighborhood.
Yep.
Anyway, 803-0550 to join us to chat on Bills, Ravens. You have the two best quarterbacks in the NFL this year matching up. If you do it by EPA, how good these quarterbacks all were this year, quarterback production, Jackson and Allen are 1-2. You got Jaden Daniels and Jared Goff playing. They were 4-3. So you have the best quarterbacks, the best offenses meeting each other.
Yeah.
And Bills and Ravens. And even Commanders and Lions.
What are the odds that the team, the quarterback that has the better performance doesn't win the game on Sunday? Does it feel like it's more possible than maybe ever before because of the run games and Henry and the Bills' identity that, like, Allen could be the better quarterback and the Bills not win, or Jackson even could be the better quarterback and if the Bills have answers for Henry and you know, the Bills run the ball, then maybe Jackson could have the better game and not win it.
Right. Is there a game script where the Ravens win by 10 and Jackson throws for 190? And Allen throws for, you know, 297, no picks, and three they lose.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that's out there. Yeah, I don't know about.
And I think in Pat, maybe that's part of the run game becoming more prevalent this year because I don't know. The last few years have felt like if you've got a quarterback battle like this, and it just for me would be which quarterback outperforms the other, and that's the team that's going through. And I'm not as sure that that's the case this week, but I mean, you still would bet on it, right? Like, you still would bet on it. If I told you right now Allen is going to outperform Lamar Jackson on Sunday, I think everybody would think the Bills are winning the football game. I think. Again, Henry is like a mythical being, like the way we're treating him going into this game.
I had forgotten that at some point his name was Tractor Cito.
Well, what? His nickname was at one point Tractor Cito.
Right. King Henry, but also Tractor Cito. It's on his Pro Football Reference page.
It is. I don't remember. Did we look up why that came up, though? Like, because nobody on earth has ever called him that I've seen, like, other than Pro Football Reference.
It happened,
I guess there is a story about it.
So the story is, the 2014 Sugar Bowl, a Spanish language commentator dubbed him Tractor Cito, the little tractor.
The little tractor.
Well, he's not little, but
he's not little.
But by tractor standards, he'd be little.
Again, the way we talk about him, he's the size of a tractor.
Right.
He is 7'7", 290 pounds, just running through everybody.
Mo in New Jersey. Good morning, Mo.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, this game coming up, I don't like talking in cliches, but I'm going to, because it's going to come down to certain things that we need to make sure we do. Number one, the game comes down to the battle in the trenches. You know, even as early as in high school football, the coaches always tell you that it just comes down to the battle in the trenches. That's the game within the game. We need to be able to control the line of scrimmage on both sides. I know it's easier said than done, but everybody has a job to do. 1-11th, you do your job, and the guy next to you does his job. And they're going to develop, they're going to have a scheme, right? And as long as you do your job, you don't deviate from your assignment, I think we'll be okay, right? And then another thing, we cannot turn the ball over at all. I know we have done a great job of that this season. Like, we're the best in the NFL when it comes to turnover differential. But especially in this game, we cannot give away possessions. You know, last week we didn't get any turnovers. We still won easily. I think this week it's going to be more important, way more important as we, you know, progress to the playoffs, hopefully beyond this round. You know, it's going to be a lot more important. And, you know, I do like our chances. This, you know, you guys talk about it, like, matchup-wise, this is probably not the best matchup for us. But we're at home. You know, that whatever edge that gives us, you know, hopefully it's... Well, I think that as long as we do what we're supposed to do on offense and defense, I think we'll be fine. And the last thing I just want to touch on is I am personally not a big fan of when defenses play spies. I think you just give away one of your players within the defensive scheme, right? You're just watching the quarterback, not really covering anybody. But if there's anybody, and I know I don't want to, you know, be part of the people that talk about one player specifically, if we ever employ a spy on Lamar Jackson, the only player it should be is Dorian Williams. And it should only be on passing downs where we know they're not going to run it because he's a bit small. He doesn't recognize the runs as quickly as Milano or Tau Bernard. I don't want to take those guys off the field either. But his speed is just, he may be able to match Lamar Jackson's speed. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But let's go, Bills.
Thanks, Mo. On the turnovers, and I want to bring something from the first game that might be lost on everybody. They did force four punts in the first game. Would you take four punts?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
They got blown out in the first game, but not enough of that lays at the feet of the offense. I know Henry ran for 199. A lot of that comes down to their offense was kind of absent that day. It wasn't the same offense. They made bad decisions on fourth downs. You pointed out the second drive. They take a penalty. They punt from midfield. Two holding penalties on the second drive. It's 14-0. Like, your offense is part of your problem there. And if you just tell me the offense comes to play, I'm going to get my points like I normally do, then, okay, I got to force a couple of punts. You know, turning over the ball, they didn't force turnovers against Denver. That's right. But their punt differential, they were like a plus +3. Mm-hmm. So be a plus on the punt differential. In the game in Baltimore, they were a -2 on punts, and they turned it over on an Allen fumble on the trick play. So they made stops in the first matchup, a couple, and that's with
Baylen Spector.
That's with Baylen Spector. They had some stops. They had 2-3 and outs in that first game.
Yeah. And on spying, like, the Bills, as we mentioned, I think let me get the time period. It's either the last 4 or 5 games that they are playing 40% man coverage, which is like more than double what they are used to doing. If they're going to do that because they don't think the Ravens receivers can get open against Benford and Douglas, if that's what you're going to do, you have to spy Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
You can't play man and not spy him. He'll run for 60 yards. So you can choose who you want that to be. I've got Williams is fast, but there's a chance Jackson puts him on skates. So you could do it with him. You could pick who you want. But like you can't not have a spy if you're going to play man coverage against them.
803-0550. Cover 0 all day. No help over the top. Just,
I mean, that would be McDermott. If he did that and it worked, like something they're not accustomed to doing, and it shut them down or even just limited them enough to win the game, man, McDermott would get so many points for that.
To this point, I mean, it's not an original idea that I just came up with. I was referencing earlier, Eric Turner of Cover One did a couple of looks at what they did the last time they played Lamar in the playoffs, and they played some looks where they were cover zero. And if Zay Flowers isn't there, I got somebody who can cover Bateman, and then it's tight ends. I guess Tylan Wallace, you got to worry about that, but... Yeah, I mean...
Nah, I don't really...
I'm just saying, like...
I got a lot of things to worry about on Sunday. I'm not sure Tylan Wallace would be down the list. But sure, yeah, he's fast.
Yeah, 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550.
Aguilar is the other one, right? He's still there playing?
Yeah. Jeremy and Joe, we'll get a call in on the other side. Chris Brown, 830. A lot of your phone calls. You know, the usual Football Friday stuff. We're inching towards Bills, Ravens, divisional round, 6:30. Highmark Stadium, Sunday. Coverage on Sunday starts at 10 a.m. here on WGR. Football Friday, Jeremy and Joe. Joe just told me he's finding the worst take he heard yesterday.
I heard two of the worst takes I've heard in months.
Wow.
Yesterday.
All right. We'll mix in a worst take. Good Pat needs to roar. He's got a good take. I'm sure Pat. We can count on Pat.
It's definitely going to be better than the ones I heard. So.
All right. Pat, good morning.
Room for you.
What's going on, boys? Listen, here's my take. My take is this. I think that the Bills... I don't think Lamar Jackson is the problem necessarily for the Bills. I think the biggest problem is Derrick Henry, obviously. And here's why I think that. I think that obviously because he's a massive physical specimen, but I think we don't have anybody in the second or third level that can really tackle him, right? I don't think Taron Johnson, given his injury problems, I think as soon as Taron Johnson tries to put his face on Derrick Henry, he's going to get hurt. And I think there's massive problems when we get to after Taron Johnson, like who do we have on the back end of that nickel on the nickel corner spot who can actually play, and then on the back end of that defense, I get very concerned about our depth there. And then I also, with Milano too, like Milano with a bad shoulder, can we trust that he can, in the open field, be able to make the tackles like we've seen him make with the bad shoulder, on top of having Terrell Bernard there to have to, you know, be the kind of orchestrator, the conductor of the defense. Those kind of three elements there, I get very concerned about us having to go up against a very veteran offense. I would just love to hear you guys take on kind of all the, I know I kind of puked a lot of
that's all right,
kind of stuff at you, but those are kind of my three thoughts coming into this, my kind of three general thoughts coming into this game.
Well, what it comes down, thanks, Pat. What it comes down to is scheme, right? Like, do the Bills have the scheme for it? Do they have the right, can they cook something up? This is the time of year where defensive coordinators make their name. Lou Anarumo became a household name, maybe not exactly that, but for a lot of football fans that follow closely enough, because you knew when Cincinnati got to the playoffs, they would dial something up. They shut out Mahomes in the second half on the road and got to a Super Bowl as a result, and they shut down this Bills offense once. So can Sean McDermott kind of join the group of defensive coordinators known for putting something together? You're not always going to have the best players, the best roster, and finding a way through just enough. Like, they're going to get their points. They're going to score a little bit. They're going to run a little bit, probably maybe a lot of it. But can you manage it to a point where you make stops in the red zone? If they just stop in the red zone the whole day and also don't give up, like, you know, 60-yard touchdowns, that's a recipe. Do you have a red zone package where maybe that is where you go cover zero and you have an additional helper inside because you're not worried about getting beat over the top because there's not as much space over the top? I don't know. I'm just, you know, puking out takes myself.
And on Milano, listening to Mina Kimes' preview of the game yesterday, her take on this game was that Milano has to have the game of his life. He's going to be attacked on every level. Jackson running the ball with Henry, attacking with the tight ends. Like, her biggest takeaway was that Milano's got to have the game of his life on Sunday.
And there was a highlight from when the Ravens played the Bills in the regular season a couple years ago. The Bills were wearing red. I'd forgotten about this highlight where Jackson jukes Milano in the hole.
Yep. Can happen to anybody.
Of course, right. No shade on Milano. 803-0550. Milano won't have much to say about it either way. That's one thing we know, if they win or lose. We'll get a break in. More of your phone calls. Top of the hour is on the way. And Chris Brown, 830. It's Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car Crash Call Salino. By Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.